Hey, yo, listen, it's going down just like this.
Spread the word and let your voice be heard. It's Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
This is for everybody who's been restored. D. Lawrence coming at you. Get up. Come on, y'all. Let's sing this song.
Got a story to tell.
Yeah.
About some things that I've been through, but I'm here.
Yo, I'm here.
Oh, I'm here.
I like that.
Had some ups, had some downs.
Oh, you only knew.
Traveled to the room, but I'm here.
Right now, I stand before you.
Oh, I'm here. Disappointment.
That's right.
I am.
Know that you are healed for sure. And a very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Praise in the City. I'm Tiffany Bacon. Happy Saturday. We are here to talk about a very serious subject, as we always do. Each week we cover something that is going on in our community or in our world. Something that you need to know about, something you may have an opinion about, but definitely something we can do something about. And today we're going to be talking about a story that has not received a lot of wide coverage, at least not here in the United States. Maybe you've heard trickles of information on this, but on April 16th, 232 Nigerian schoolgirls were abducted from their school all at one time. What a horrific event. Of course, their parents are going crazy. They're praying for the return of their daughters. But we're going to be talking about that and how and also how big of an issue sex trafficking is, not just in the world, but here in the United States as well. And could these young girls be put into any sex trafficking rings? So we're going to be talking about that this morning. We would love to get your opinions, your thoughts on this. Have you heard about this story? We're going to have some awesome guests joining us that I'm about to introduce in like a couple of seconds. But I'd like to give you the phone number so you could be a part of today's conversation. The number is 215-263-1039. My first question to you right now is, have you heard about this story? And if you hadn't heard about this story, why do you think we don't get as much coverage on something as ridiculous and crazy and amazing as this? So give us a call, 215-263-1039. Let me introduce you to our special guest joining us via the telephone. We have Danielle Parks, who is the Director of Prevention Services at Drexel University College of Medicine, and Tarana Burke, who is the Executive Director of Just Be Inc., a nonprofit for young women. Ladies, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yay. Thank you guys for joining us. So I know, Tarana, you are part of the team that is putting together a rally that's happening today in Philadelphia. There's also a rally that's happening in New York City today to bring awareness to this story about the Nigerian girls. Can you just give us a little background on what happened?
So, good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you bringing attention to this issue, because like you said, there's been very little attention in the last 2 weeks, particularly in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So we have way more information now than last week, and I began posting this on my Facebook page a few days after it happened, because I had followed some international news and I have friends in Nigeria now.
Mm-hmm.
So initially what happened is on or about April 15th or 16th, this group called Boko Haram, which is a fringe Islamic terrorist group in northern Nigeria, came to this school. It's a government-run private school for girls. They came to the school in the night posing as Nigerian military.
Mm-hmm.
The town, Chibok, where they are located, has been under a curfew, and because of the terrorism that has been happening there, school has not been in session since March.
Mm.
But these girls were brought back to the school initially to take a test, apparently, that they had missed.
Mm-hmm.
So
and Tarana, we're having trouble hearing you clearly. I don't know what happened. There was a change in a sound in your phone. If you could just adjust that. I don't know what happened.
Is this a better connection?
That's better.
Okay. So, anyway, these militants came in posing as the military, as the Nigerian military, and took the girls out of the school, but immediately then burned the school down and went off into the night in trucks with these young women.
Mm.
And the problem has been that the Nigerian government has been very slow to respond, and their efforts haven't been strong enough to recover these girls. And so people took to social media and to local media to push this story out into the world, and it was quite a slow drip, if you will.
Okay. And so we're just now, you know, it's been 2 weeks or so, and we're just now getting more of this information, like you said. And, you know, we have been swamped with all of the information about the Clippers controversy. And this kind of slipped under the radar. And I happened to notice this on social media as well. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, what is going on here? One of the concerns that I heard a couple of people discussing about not only the whereabouts of the young girls, but also what is going to happen to them. One of the things that was tossed around is potential sex trafficking. And Daniel Parks is joining us via the telephone to just discuss, you know, how big of an issue this is. Danielle, sex trafficking, when you hear about it, you think about it happening, you know, in other places, maybe in Europe or in Asia somewhere, but you often don't think about it happening here in the United States. And is this a potential risk for the young girls in Nigeria who've been abducted?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge over here as well. I think we all have heard and seen things in the media about people internationally with this happening, but it does happen quite frequently in the United States. I mean, it is estimated that about 150,000 underage girls in the United States have been victims of sex trading, you know, as young as 12. Mm-hmm. And so this is becoming a huge problem. And it generates a lot of money. It's like a $32 billion you know, industry worldwide, and it is happening more and more frequently in this country as well.
Mm-hmm. So based on, ladies, based on what you know about what's happening in Nigeria, you say they're under a conflict. What is the conflict that's going on, and how big of a risk is this for these young girls to be traded off as sex slaves?
It's a huge risk. So this group, first of all, this is not a new thing. This mm-hmm. group, Boko Haram, has been in conflict in northern Nigeria since early 2000s. Some reports go back as early 2003. Some say between 2006, 2009. Mm-hmm. And basically, their name translates literally into Western culture is not good. So the haram, mm-hmm. the word haram apparently is the opposite of halal, which means, you know, that which is good, and this is that which is bad. Mm-hmm. And Boko is representative of Western culture. So it's an anti-Western culture group. And I don't want to point out, you know, in solidarity with our Islamic brothers and sisters, that this is not about being anti-Islamic at all, because these young girls are also Muslim, many of mm-hmm. them. And this is a fringe terrorist group that does not represent what, you know, Muslim culture and Islamic culture and religion is about. Mm-hmm. But I would say that the possibility of these young girls being sold into sex trafficking is extremely high, because this is what they do. They kill young men and they capture the women and sell them into the sex trade. And people, the other story that's underneath this is that just 2 weeks before the girls were kidnapped, 59 young boys were murdered, students, in another school that this same group came into in the middle of the night, took these young men out and killed them, 59 mm-hmm. children, young men. So this is an extremely dangerous group that has a long history of sex trafficking mm-hmm. and trading these young women. So I would say they're in extreme danger, and it's already been 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. So anything could have happened to them by this time.
Now,
would you say there is any relation between this group and what has been going on in the Congo for a long time? There have been a lot of stories over the years about conflict in the Congo, where there have been various factions, I guess, kind of fighting over the rich minerals that are there. A lot of the minerals that the Congo grows naturally, has naturally, are used to produce things like our cell phones and
right.
Our electronic devices that we use daily, but people die over there just to actually get control of these minerals. There was lots of raping and maiming of women in the Congo. Would you say that this group is in any way related to what has been happening there?
I don't know that they are related in a direct sense, meaning that they have the same goals. Mm-hmm. But I do know that historically in the Congo, in Nigeria, in other parts of Africa, in other parts of the world, when there is unrest and there are and there's one fringe or militant group that comes in, what happens many times is that the women are taken and trafficked and the men are killed. Mm-hmm. So I think where they are related is in their tactic,
mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure if they're related in their goal.
Okay. Okay. As far as us here in the United States, we hear about these stories and they are horrific. Lord knows we have our own issues with murder in our city streets. Clearly, it is not anything to this magnitude. Why should we be as concerned and as outraged, ladies? Either one can address.
Well, I think whatever happens in other countries is a mirror of what can happen here. Sex trading and violence and, you know, all these other issues can definitely, you know, hit home. I remember I just recently heard about the girls in Nigeria. There had been a lot of work around sex trading over the past couple of years, but that's something that I was just hearing about, I think, in the past year. And particularly in this country, mm-hmm. a lot of these things are happening and are happening at the magnitude that they're happening in the other country, but we're not hearing about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just recently started seeing billboards around the city about sex trafficking with numbers to call if you know anyone who's been a victim or if you yourself have been a victim.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of this information is just coming to the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about it a lot around the Super Bowl. And I'm like, oh, you know, what does one have to do with the other? And they said, you know, you just have no idea how much sex trading happens around Super Bowl season.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these are things that have continuously been happening. There was a man that was arrested in 2009 after a Super Bowl game. He had put out an ad on Craigslist,
mm-hmm.
had a bunch of girls that were for sale. For $300, it's not even, you know, I'm just like, you know, when we think about our worth, you know, $300 and this is on Craigslist and this is happening. And so we definitely need to bring this more to the forefront.
Okay. We're going to continue this conversation. I want to invite the listening audience in to ask questions, to make a comment. Somebody is waking up this morning, turned on Praise 103.9 and said, what in the world is going on? What are we talking about this morning? What is happening? So I want you to be listen very, very acutely to this conversation, because a lot of people are not aware of what's going on, what's happening with women, not just here in the United States, but also in other parts of the world, and the gravity of what's happening to women. We need to be aware. There is something that we can do about it. We're going to have you, Tarana, talk about the rally that's happening later on this morning. I'll let you give some information on that. But listening audience, call in, ask questions. Have you heard about this story about the Nigerian girls? Have you heard about the sex trafficking problem in the United States? And if you haven't, today is a good day to ask questions, especially if you have a daughter, if you are a young person. We're going to talk about how women end up being sex trafficked. It's not always what you think, that it's someone on the fringe of society that's kind of fallen out of line with everything else. It doesn't always have to go that way. We're going to talk about this morning, and I would love to hear your comments and your questions. 215-263-1039. We're going to take a call, ladies. Let's go to Miranda calling in from Philadelphia. Miranda, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. I'm calling in because I saw this event that happened on the news earlier this week about the young girls that were kidnapped.
Yes.
And I further heard the people explain that about 50 of the girls got away.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that some of them were being made to marry their kidnappers.
Mm.
And my thought was, if these 50 girls could get away, how could they not go after and find these people? Like, where did they get away from?
Mm-hmm.
And even more concerning is how they don't want, how people, not the Nigerian parents, because, of course, they thought their children were safe in this private school. But it's just so concerning to me, because as parents, we have to be so vigilant about protecting our children,
mm-hmm.
even here in the Philadelphia area. And I'm a single parent of a young son. son. Mm-hmm. He's 11 years old. I'm already educating him on kidnapping because they're doing it to boys and girls
right.
in Philadelphia.
Right.
And
right.
as you said, it's all over the country, even here. You know, when I went to Florida for my residency for grad school, and we had to do the human sex trafficking trade that was even happening in Florida. It's everywhere.
Right. Right.
And I just think that it's just it's so horrible, but I do believe that we need to be more vigilant.
Right. And more aware that these things are happening. I think some people are just not aware that this is happening at all. Like if you say slavery is alive in 2014, people are like, oh, get off your stuff. And it's like, okay, we're talking about like sex slaves, boys and girls around the world here in our own backyard. And so we're just trying to bring awareness to it this morning. And thank you so much, Miranda, for your comments. And thanks for listening to the program today.
You're welcome. Thank you for bringing the awareness.
Not a problem. All right. Danielle, can you tell us about how big of an issue is sex trafficking right here in Philadelphia?
It's pretty big. There's an organization in Philadelphia called Adorns Police that is a home specifically for victims of sex trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
And they are doing a lot of work to bring to the forefront how this happens. I'm glad you mentioned it earlier because a lot of us, when we think about sex trade, we think of, you know, these girls that, you know, have run away. Maybe they have issues with substance abuse. And don't get me wrong, those women are definitely victims as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just everyday girls, you know, walking to school that are being taken off the streets mm-hmm. and put into this world.
Mm-hmm.
Things like, you know, girls that go to the mall looking for a job, filling out applications.
Mm-hmm.
And a gentleman will come up and say, hey, you know, I just opened up a new restaurant. You know, we're looking for waitresses. Are you looking for work? And, of course, you know, these girls are like, yeah, we're interested. And he gives them a card and a place to come meet him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it won't be open for a few months. We're still under construction. So, you know, we're going to have you meet us at this warehouse. And then
mm-hmm.
these girls are never seen again. And so we have to be really mindful when we're talking to our daughters and our nieces and our sisters about, you know, how this can be approached. Because I think, you know, when we think about it, we're like, oh, our girls are in school, they're getting good grades, and, you know, they shouldn't have to worry about this. But this is a multi-million dollar operation that is happening here right in the country.
Mm-hmm. Right in our backyard.
Yeah.
Now, Tarana, yeah. you have, I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
I was just going to add to that, you know, I work with young women, and I've seen it. I've worked with young women in the South as well, and I've seen trafficking happen in my own group. I've seen it. I've seen young women who, the other thing we have to watch are these girls who are 12 and 13 and 14 and very vulnerable who are dating, quote-unquote dating older boys because that's the way that they were doing it in the community I lived in formerly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had 12-year-olds who was so-called dating 23 and 24 and 25-year-old men who then would share them with their friends, and then it would move on from there. It was like a grooming process.
Mm.
So, you know, a lot of times parents sometimes don't know what's happening with
right.
their kids, and it's hard to obviously know what's happening with your kids all the time, but that's something else we should, you know, to be mindful of.
Right, right. And I was going to ask you, Tarana, about your organization. What are some of the things that you tell the young women who are a part of Just Be Inc., the nonprofit for young women? What are some of the things that you tell them to look out for so they can avoid being trafficked?
So this is my work with Just Be Inc. is around girls empowerment. And we try to help young women develop or strengthen their sense of self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I try to be really careful about this because, like you were saying earlier, we have a very distinct view or stereotypical view of what the average trafficked girl looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times what these men who prey on these girls, not the ones who are necessarily snatched off the street because that's a whole different
mm-hmm.
kind of situation, but the ones who are groomed and brought into this life are done so because these men can pick up on these girls who have self-esteem issues, who come from broken homes,
mm-hmm.
who are very vulnerable or more vulnerable to the manipulation that these men who come into their lives bring.
Mm-hmm.
So I talk to my girls a lot about developing, you know, how they're grounded and developing a sense of self-worth that doesn't have them depend on the words or the charms or manipulation that comes at the hands of men and women. There are women who go out and do the same type of thing, to traffic girls. So we do talk a lot about that. But in a more specific way, we talk about these relationships. I'm always concerned when my girls, you know, talk about dating older guys or hanging out with older guys and what they're trying to get them to do. So we talk about what manipulation looks like.
Okay.
And you know, how you navigate relationships and the kind of things that make you uncomfortable and when you feel danger, how to respond to that and respond immediately and get yourself away from it. So
okay.
That's definitely a conversation.
Good stuff. We welcome you, my listening audience, into this conversation this morning. We are talking about the issue of sex trafficking, but also as it relates to the story on the Nigerian girls who were abducted from their school on April 16th. We are just getting the news about this over here in the United States, and many of the girls are still missing. Sex trafficking is a big risk for them, and it's also a big risk for us here in the United States. And right here in Philadelphia, there are sex traffickers out there that are preying on your young girls. That is what we're talking about this morning. We'd love your comments, and we'd also love your questions of our guests this morning. So give us a call, 215-263-1039. Let's go to Justine calling in from Philadelphia. Justine, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, that's unfortunate about the young girls in Nigeria. You would be to think that, you know, it's more believable, like in a third world country for something like that to go on. However, it does go on in Philadelphia. I'm 43 years old, and when I was 16, 17, there was an older guy that I was attracted to because my parents broke up, so I didn't want to be in the house. So I thought that he was like my boyfriend, but we were driving in a car one day and he smacked me or punched me in my face while we were driving. And I wasn't sure what was going on, but as time went on, he took me to this house that had, you know, a bunch of guys there and put me in his bedroom. So, you know, I knew what was going on, but by the grace of God, nothing happened, and we left. But when I realized what he was trying to do, I stayed away from him. It was to the point where I barely even wouldn't even stay at my house. I stayed away from him. And the only reason why I knew what he was doing was because I was raised up under the, you know, saved parents. And the Holy Spirit told me he's going to try to, you know, pimp you or sell you. So anyway, that does happen. And I thank God that nothing happened, you know, as a result. But it does happen, and it does happen in Philly. And all I want to say to anybody, if you feel uncomfortable and you realize you're in that situation, get away from that man as quick, or woman, as quick as you can. That's what you do. And stay away from them. You got to stay away from them.
Good advice. Thank you so much for sharing your experience. I think it's, you know, I appreciate your openness with that. A lot of people would not share that. And it's good to give like a voice to an experience that happened right here. You know, so it's not just a statistic we're talking about. Thank you so much, Justine. We really appreciate your call.
You're welcome. But God.
But God is right. Amen. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, listen, we have Nell on the line. Nell, please hold on. If you have not yet called, we would love to hear your comments. We would love to hear your questions on our topic today. We are talking about the abduction of over 200 Nigerian girls from their school and also sex trafficking, because there's a great risk that these young ladies will be sex trafficked. And there's quite a bit of sex trafficking that's happening here in the United States and right here in our own backyard in Philadelphia. If you have comments or questions, give us a call, 215-263-1039. Our guests are going to stay on the line. We're going to take a break, but we'll be right back with more conversation after this.
You're listening to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration. Now back to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
And a very good morning. Welcome to the second half of our program today. We are talking about the abduction of over 200 girls in Nigeria from their boarding school. It happened on April 16th. There is a high possibility they could be sex trafficked. We are also talking about sex trafficking this morning as it relates to the United States and, of course, right here in our own backyard of Philadelphia, PA. We are inviting your questions and your comments at 215-263-1039. Also, there is a documentary that's being produced in part by, I think, Jada Pinkett Smith. I'm not quite sure if she's on the production end or on the hosting end, but she is involved in this documentary for CNN. And she's done a video journal of her experience talking to women who have been sex trafficked. It is a very compelling video. I invite you to look at it on the Don't Sell Bodies I think it's .com or .org, and that is a website that is dedicated to the prevention of sex trafficking. So if you can, go check that out. Taking your calls right now at 215-263-1039. We have Janice on the line from Northeast Philadelphia. Janice, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, ladies. What I would like to know is there a law enforcement task force here in the United States and even in Philadelphia that is, trying to gain evidence and crack down on this whole human and child sex trafficking and human trade? And what I'd also like to know is, just like the whole genocide situation in Rwanda, mm-hmm. where we had our foreign affairs government officials getting involved to stop that whole genocide, how can we as taxpaying citizens force our government to get involved with this human child abduction and sex trade and trafficking in Africa?
Good question. Danielle or Tarana, either of you have an answer?
Well, there's not a specific task force in Philadelphia. It all goes through the Special Victims Unit. But I have seen in the media in the past couple years on, like, you know, page 13 of the newspaper or a small snippet on the news between all of the other breaking news that people are being brought to justice. There were a few cases over the past couple of years where victims have been rescued and their traffickers have been given some time in this area. And so still more work needs to be done. I don't think that folks really understand how big of a problem it is. A lot of these girls that are trafficked are drugged, and I think, you know, they get into, you know, they're forced into prostitution. So a lot of times, when they're arrested, because that's another problem that we have. You know, we have these girls that are forced into prostitution because of sex trade, and then, you know, years down the line, they come into court because they're being arrested for prostitution when they were actually forced into this life. And so a lot of work still needs to be done.
And I would imagine that they also would suffer from the Stockholm syndrome, where they are afraid of testifying against their, abductors or their captors or whatever.
And well, if one of you could,
you know, I'm sorry, go ahead, Tiffany.
No, I was just going to say, before you continue with your comment, you mentioned Stockholm syndrome. If one of you could explain what that is for anyone listening who's not familiar with the term.
Well, Stockholm syndrome comes from, I think, the Patty Hearst kidnapping case years in the 70s. Where a person is kidnapped and they are with their captors so long that they grow an affinity or an affection and loyalty to the kidnapper, because she actually fell in love with her kidnappers. And I don't know that that's necessarily the same thing that happens in trafficking, or if it is something very similar, because the manipulation is so strong, and these are such young girls that they are, you know, it's the same thing in regular prostitution. Who people voluntarily, you know, become prostitutes. It's a similar kind of thing, that pimp prostitute relationship
Mm-hmm. You're so deeply violent and manipulative sometimes mm-hmm. that it becomes like a Stockholm syndrome where the person who is the victim mm-hmm. is so loyal to their victimizer that it mm-hmm. becomes hard to prosecute or even to get them away out of that relationship.
Right. Okay. Thank you for clearing
thank
that up.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Janice. We appreciate your phone call and your question.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Tarana, were you going to say something else?
Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, there was a law, an anti-trafficking law, the Trafficking Victims Protection Act passed in like 2099, if I'm not mistaken.
2009, you mean?
No, it's either 1999 or somewhere around there.
Okay. I'm like, child, if it's 2099, we all got problems.
We're in trouble. We need a DeLorean. But, yeah, it's a federal anti-trafficking law. The problem, like the sister was speaking to, is mm-hmm. that, one, these laws aren't enforced far and wide. Mm-hmm. Two, it's very difficult, I think, sometimes to enforce them. And three, the really important point that she brought up is that these girls, sometimes down the line, sometimes right away, a lot of states, groups in different states are trying to get laws passed so mm-hmm. these young girls who are trafficked are recognized as victims in court. Mm-hmm. There's an organization called GEMS out of New York, mm-hmm. which does amazing work. And they did a documentary called Our Girls Are Not for Sale.
Right.
I think maybe 2 years ago. And their founder, executive director, her name escapes me right now, was trafficked, and she came to the outside of the United States, and she mm. came to the United States to and did this work. Mm-hmm. But GEMS, this Girls Education and Mentoring Program, they okay. have a wonderful website that has so much information about trafficking and about this epidemic. And the other last thing I wanted to say about this was that part of the work that I do at Just Be Inc. is educate around education and community education.
Mm-hmm.
I think a really big part of this problem is that people in the community don't know, and so they don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. They don't have language to explain to their children. They don't have, you know, facts and figures to talk to young people about this intelligently. And mm-hmm. so the other part to this is we should be having community education forums. We should be talking about this. Part of my push is that we need to make sex trafficking, the sexual abuse, assault, and exploitation of young girls should be on the tips of our tongue,
mm-hmm.
right? In my organization, we have an acronym that's SAE, S-A-A-E, sexual abuse, assault, and exploitation are the areas that we focus on to go into schools and to talk to young women, because oftentimes a lot of the victims who are sex trafficked have been sexually abused prior to the trafficking, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that, these are all the things that make them more vulnerable and susceptible to being trafficked. So young women
okay.
who are in this industry come from homes where maybe they were molested, where maybe they were, you know, they had been sexually assaulted
right.
at an early age. We have to talk about this as a community. I'm so proud mm-hmm. of this program and the fact that you are doing this and talking about this on this PRAISE program, because in our churches and our mosques, in our community centers, you know, we talk about Mumia, we talk about prison industrial complex, we talk about education, we talk about these things that we should be talking about, right, that are mm-hmm. vital mm-hmm. in our community, big issues. This is a huge issue in our community.
Yeah.
But because Black women and girls aren't valued in the same way that that Black men and boys are necessarily, or white men and boys, or white women, like we come so far down the totem pole that our issues aren't spoken to in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to us to raise our voices and make this an issue at the forefront.
Also, one of the things that I noticed just in like knee-jerk reactions when I bring this up in casual conversation, for any parents who are listening, this becomes another overwhelming, Lord have mercy, this is something else I have to worry about for my child, as if I don't have to worry about, you know, them getting caught in a drive-by, or them getting robbed on their way to school, or them just getting through school. You know, mm-hmm. how else can you prepare an overwhelmed parent who's listening to the program right now, who's like, let me add this to my list of things to have a conversation with Jane about? How can you prepare them to, one, get this information without freaking out, and to be able to relay this information without freaking out?
I mean, it's all about communication. Parents have to stop feeling uncomfortable having these conversations. I think the biggest, you know, I think harm that we did to our kids in like the 80s was that whole Stranger Danger campaign. Remember that? Like Stranger Danger is always in the schools and commercials. And so our ideas of who could hurt our children is always this stranger in a trench coat that we don't know. And the bottom line is a lot of our victims that are get involved in sex trading and prostitution are brought into this world from people that they actually know. And so we have to be able to talk to our children about not only the strangers that are standing in the alleyway, but maybe a uncle, you know, or a friend of the family.
The neighbor.
The neighbor, you know, being able to talk to our children about, you know, what is appropriate and what's not appropriate. You know, a lot of times we don't talk to our children about incest and molestation and good touch and bad touch because we're always concerned of, you know, there's so much violence in the city. And, you know, if you hear gunshots and drop and that type of thing, but really having those open conversations about, you know, though this may be a friend of a family or a family member, if you ever feel uncomfortable, let a family member know.
What do you say to the child who may be told, if you say anything, I will hurt your family?
You know what, Tiffany, as I'm a survivor, and we like to say thriver, of sexual abuse, of child sexual abuse. And because of that, this is the reason why I started doing this work. It's when, and in Just Be, we have a separate program called Me Too, which is about, and the reason why we called it Me Too is because if you start this conversation, if you put 10 women in the room, regardless of race, color, you know, sexual orientation, whatever, you put 10 to 20 women in the room and you start talking about your story, inevitably you'll have people say, Me Too. You know, it's really at epidemic levels, and we don't talk about it. And one of the things I learned, though, in doing this work, and particularly in our community, because I think in communities of color, this is a very nuanced conversation because of different, there's different cultural norms and things that we do quite differently than other communities. And so one of the things that I realized in talking to girls to try to find out, you know, has anybody touched you? We normally say these things. Has anybody touched you? Is anybody bothering you? Is this person, you know, that kind of stuff. When you are, but we also say things like, don't you sit on a man's lap, right? We've all heard that. You never sit on a man's lap. Don't let nobody touch your private parts, right? We we give these out as rules to our girls to when they're very young. So when something does happen, when Uncle So-and-so does touch them or the neighbor comes in and forces them to do whatever, oftentimes our girls feel complicit in the act. So it feel, it doesn't feel like somebody did something to me as much as it feels like I did something I wasn't supposed to. I did something nasty. I did something that broke the rules. So what I did with my daughter, and I have a teenage daughter, what I did with my daughter is say to her, on many, and it took a lot of occasions, right, to get this in her head, but on many occasions, there is nothing that you can tell me. There's nothing that you can't tell me. There's nothing that you will do or say or be a part of that I can't, that I, that would make me stop loving you. There's nothing that's unforgivable, right? And just to create this culture that says, that's very open, it says that, and also around, you know, I'll hurt your parents and that kind of thing. Like, I am all, you're not responsible for me. I'm responsible for you, right? So you just have to be clear about some of those things. It doesn't, you will hear, you can say to your child, you may hear this. Even if you hear that, you always come back to mommy. And that's what I tell my, you always come back to mommy, right? Because I'm here to protect you. It's my job. But we have to be very careful about the language we use.
Yeah.
Our children, because it gets confusing, right? You have two different messages. Don't sit on so-and-so's lap, but don't, you know, it just gets really confusing. So we have to think through that.
Ladies, we are going to have a part two of this conversation. Unfortunately, an hour is just not long enough. Hopefully, we were able today to bring awareness to what, not only what has happened in Nigeria, but what is happening here in our own backyard. Tarana, there is an event that people can be a part of today to bring awareness to the Nigerian incident. What is that?
So today at Love Park at 12 o'clock, we are asking, it's called Rock a Gele for our girls. And for those who don't know what a gele is, it's the traditional headdress that's worn by many African women, and many women, African-American women also wear them.
Mm-hmm.
So in solidarity with the mothers and the families and people in Africa whose children were kidnapped, we're asking people to come to Love Park today for a rally and a vigil. We're going to be, we have a number of speakers lined up, Dr. Martha Lamont Hill, Deborah Powell Wright from In the Company of Poets.
Mm-hmm.
We also partnered with a group called 200 Roses for Nigeria,
mm-hmm.
who are asking people to come and bring a rose or to wear red. So, you know, you don't have to do any of those things. You don't have to wear a gala. You don't have to bring a rose or wear red. We would love for that to happen for the visual, because
mm-hmm.
part of what we're trying to do is bring attention. We want media attention on what we're doing, so it brings, let the world know that we care about this.
Right.
Those are our girls. What happens in the diaspora is important to what happens to us here in the United States. So 12 o'clock at Love Park, bring your gala, wear your gala, bring a rose, wear red, but bring your body. Show up and show that black girls matter, black bodies matter, black lives matter. And these young girls, we want them to come home.
And what I think is also pretty awesome for any of our friends who are listening via the internet, the same event is happening in New York City at the same time,
right,
from 12 to 2 at Union Square, 14th Street and University Place. So it's going to be kind of a New York Philly solidarity.
Well, it's happening all over the world. There's something that happened in Atlanta.
Mm.
There's something happening in D.C. There's something happening in London, in Oakland. I'm hearing every hour, I'm hearing about new things that are happening all over. So all over the country, between this Saturday and next Tuesday, there'll be, so, you know, people should go online and look and go under the hashtag Bring Back Our Girls or Bring
right.
Our Girls Back. And you know, you'll find a lot of information. And we have a Facebook page called Rock a Gele for Our Girls. If people can't make it out today, we're asking them to take a picture of themselves in the gele,
mm-hmm.
or add a picture to that website and leave a message of inspiration or what have you for,
awesome.
For the girls.
Awesome. Ladies, thank you so much. Danielle, where can people go to find out about some of the work that you do?
Okay, so there's actually a national hotline for sex trafficking and human trafficking, and that number is 1-888-373-7888. There's actually an organization here in Philadelphia whose mission is to help get these women that have been victims their life back. And so
mm-hmm.
if you want more information, please contact Dawn's Place. Their email is info@ahomefordawn.org.
Awesome. Ladies, thank you so much for your work. Thank you for your vigilance. Thank you for your awareness on today's topic. And thank you so much for being guests today.
Thank you, Tiffany.
Thank you, Tiffany.
All right. Much love going out to our offsite producer, Donovan West, and our in-studio producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Stick around. Marriage Beyond the Vows is next. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive day. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.